As a beast with a big stomach, Treacle was ecstatic to be at the new buffet some ways from the AgroCast studio. This buffet was marketed as both a unique selection and an out-of-the-ordinary dining experience. And wow, did it deliver. It was built on the shore and offered a lovely view of the starry sky above. The food included, but not limited to, was curry with rice, a vast array of fruit, which was for some reason mostly oranges, and even Japanese pastries. Whatever all of this was, Treacle loved it. Halfway through the meal, the beast noticed a promotional flyer on the wall. It read, "Play a dice game! Winner gets free meals for a month and a special treat of our delicacy, pink lobster." Treacle nudged his companion, Chris, the wannabe foodie, a few times in joy. "Hey, you're foolish enough to play mobile games. You have to win this for me." Chris eyed the flyer vehemently. "I'm not doing this for you, but I do have to settle a score," they responded, immediately walking off to the greeting desk. As much as Treacle wanted to watch a bit of this, he was too focused on his food right now. But it was not too long after that Chris returned, arms crossed. A lot happened and the lobster prize shot off into space. Probably not the weirdest AgroCast adventure that Treacle was aware of, but he was still unable to reply. Agro's been to space, like, what, 5 times before? I think she still has a ship. If you were wondering if Agro was going to go to space, Matt, so that was the twist for you.
I think Treacle will find out that Arrow's not going to go to space with them. At this point.
This is the May 2020 AgroCast podcast. We will be talking about Gunstar Heroes. I am your host, Chris, and I am accompanied by my co-host, Matt. Matt, how has your May been?
Well, May was May. We'll leave it at that. As for what I've been playing, I haven't played a big variety of games, but I did play a lot of one game. But I'll start with Supernova, which is Darius Force on the Super Nintendo. I played through 3 different paths of that game this month. The top, middle, and bottom. And each one has a different level of difficulty, as is usually the case with Darius. And of course, you can always increase your path as you go along. But I just did top, middle, and bottom just to keep it simple and see everything I could. It's good. It's good. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Darius game by a long margin, but it has some cool stuff. It has a spiral snail, which is one of my favorite Darius bosses, and has a chameleon and stuff, so there's some cool stuff in there. It was good to finally put that one to rest, because when I started collecting for the Super Nintendo, I got a lot of the SNES shmups. I had Darius Twin and Super R-Type and Gradius 3 and games like that, which were fairly easy to clear, but I never really put the work into Supernova, so it was good to come back to that one and put it down at long last, so that was good. As for what I was playing the most of, I took a little bit of a break from Iceborne because Alatreon was delayed. It finally has a release window again now, so I've been trying to just get back in the swing of things with Monster Hunter Iceborne, just so I'm relatively prepared for that. But I mostly played Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, which I'm still not through with. I've been off of that game for maybe a week now, probably going back pretty soon.
That's a long time for you.
Yeah, but I mean, this game has a shitload of content. GU, and I'm doing the G-Rank stuff now, and G-Rank is all hub quests, and hub quests in older Monster Hunter are multiplayer scaled only, so they take a lot longer and a bit more difficult. They hit a bit harder, right? So that's been taking me a little bit of time to get through. I'm at G4, which I think is the final G-Rank. So once I clear G4, I'll have beaten the game. I'll have Deviants and X-Deviants to do after that, and Hyper Monsters and all that stuff, but I'm not sure how much of that I'll do solo, because it's getting into the realm of having so much inflated health and so much inflated values that it's a lot better to do it with other people. So I'll see how I approach that, but I want to at least beat the final boss of G4 solo. That's my goal with Generations Ultimate. I have to play some of my other Switch games eventually, but for now that one's served me quite well, and that's pretty well what I've done for this for this May in terms of games.
Maybe you can find another Monster Hunter game to fill the void.
Yeah, I was thinking to look at the first game, even though people tell me not to, but I'm kind of curious to see, so I might be playing Monster Hunter regular at some point. Not in the near future, but at some point. How about yourself, Chris?
Well, to carry off to your Monster Hunter discussion, as May has also just been May for me, so I kind of slacked off on World a bit. I'll probably get back to it slightly before Alatreon is added in, probably because I don't have my meta that I care so much about. I did get around to messing around with other weapons. I did start playing a bit around with light bow gun, so I could be one of those cool people. But no, actually it's because the friend I mostly play with is Insect Glaive, and bow is just not really that good against smaller monsters, say like Kuliaku or Kirin, I suppose. And, you know, my secondary is still Insect Glaive, which I haven't put too much time into, but two Insect Glaive users on a small monster just seems like we're just going to be constantly hitting each other and sounds like a bad idea. So it's like, okay, I'll just switch the light bow gun and see how effective I could be with that.
You know what's really good against Kirin?
What?
A hammer.
Or a large club or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely not my tertiary, but I guess it's something that's more situational at this point. I don't think it will be my new main or anything. Bow is still near and dear to my heart, but I don't know. I haven't really put a lot of time thinking about all the meta for light bow gun setups, like what kind of adjustments you want to put, if you want to put recoil on, or now that spread shot is definitely meta.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll use against Safi if that's more effective against it than bow, because bow is a little okay. Or I'm just not good. But I did start messing around with Hunting Horn. I'm still not very good at it. I was messing around with the Devil Joe Horn that I happen to have from high rank, so I did some high rank quests with that as sort of a practice introduction. Good thing I did solo, because I would be very unsupportive to anyone or effective against hitting the monster.
Yeah, it's not a support weapon, so.
So it's kind of there, but I dig it. I think it's a cool change of pace for me. Don't know, again, where I would use in my most used weapons, but I like it.
It's good. I have something like 150 hunts with the Hunting Horn. I do like it a lot, and it's really good against Kushala Deora, so there's that.
Yeah, everyone's favorite monster.
Yeah. No, it's a good weapon, and it's sometimes a bit of a strange weapon to wrap yourself around just to get into the mindset you need to use it, but I think it's worthwhile. I don't really consider it a support weapon, because if you're just corner-horning, it's called, just playing songs away from the monster, then you're really not doing anything, you're not supporting anybody, so.
Well, that just doesn't seem fun to me.
If you're going to use the Hunting Horn, you have to still have to get into the mix, is what I'm trying to say. I guess it does have buffs, and in that sense it's a support thing, but people shouldn't be expecting you to play buffs for them all the time. Anyhow, in terms of weapons that are traditionally considered support, Hunting Horn, you're going to get the buffs for people, that's fine. Sword and Shield, don't look for me to heal you. I did make a Mushroom Mancer wide range set with Haunting Horn using the Master Rank Cool of Taroth parts, and I did heal people with that. And it's funny, once you start doing that, they don't do anything for themselves, so I didn't use it very much after that, so. Anyways, that's just my own personal hang-ups about those weapons. I think they're great, but yeah.
The horn's definitely a big change of pace for me, considering Insect Glaive, bow, light bow gun are all light weapons, so using a clutch call is going to be different.
Yeah.
Although you really should be asking people with light weapons to do the tenderizing, but somehow I end up doing it anyway. How does this happen? I guess I'm just helping out in my own way.
Well, you want a weapon that tenderizes in one hit, so heavy weapons should really tenderize.
Yeah. Of course, when you play with a friend who's maining Insect Glaive and only uses Insect Glaive, I guess that's what we're stuck doing.
I guess so. That's why you gotta learn the hammer. Or the greatsword, either one. Pretty good. The hammer's a large club, but the actual large club is a greatsword, so take it as you will.
Also, some time ago, everyone was really talking about Final Fantasy for some reason, and I kind of had that calling, so I too am playing Final Fantasy, except I just got back to my copy of 3 on the PSP, which I describe as pretty much the DS version without the Wi-Fi garbage. I ended up playing it a lot more than I expected to, because now I'm at the third crystal, which is, I don't know, roughly 24 hours of gameplay, which I think is a lot for an NES Final Fantasy game. I said I wouldn't grind too much, but here I am now with everyone done with their initial job classes, so I reclass them. And then both, I think, Luneth and Refia have also at least changed classes another time.
So is there any benefit to mastering multiple classes? Does anything carry over?
You get that special equipment for hitting job level 99 in Eureka, if I recall correctly.
Okay. It's been a minute since I played even the DS version, so I don't remember.
Yeah, and there's also Onion Knight, which I haven't unlocked yet. 3 is a game that I know isn't exactly popular, but I love it for some reason. Probably my favorite of the 3 first Final Fantasies. I don't know how to explain it. It has a lot of weird problems. It has a lot of grinding because difficulty just jumps randomly for no reason. Spells are really expensive, and you definitely need spells because there are times when you have to use mini, and then melee attacks just are garbage when you have to do those dungeons.
I think it's more popular than Final Fantasy II, although Final Fantasy II is still a fine game.
Yeah.
Just with an unorthodox leveling system to it.
Maybe by next podcast I'll get to the optional dungeon and I'll have some talks about that and farming for all those dragon skills or whatever the heck it was. It's been a long time.
Mayhaps. Is that the one with the Iron Giant?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I only ever saw screenshots of it because, well.
Yeah. I'm also kind of hoping I'm getting that second Gungnir from Odin, but that's a rare drop and I don't know how certain I want to do it. Gunstar Heroes is Treasure's debut game, which mostly plays as a run-and-gun side-scroller in the Sega Genesis. The story is, long ago, an evil organization terrorized the Earth and unleashed its ultimate weapon, Gold and Silver, which was powered by 4 gems. The Gunstars defeated this threat, scattered the gems, and went into stasis. Many years later, a new evil empire plots to find those gems and resurrect Gold and Silver. The Gunstar family are reawoken to fight for the Earth again. We went over our treasure history when we talked about Alien Soldier roughly 2 years ago, so we'll just go with our history in particular for this game. Matt, what can you tell me about Gunstar Heroes?
In terms of history with it, I don't have a shitload. I did play it back in the day, mostly because a friend had it for his Genesis, and it was one of the few unusual games he had. Usually we played Jurassic Park, but Gunstar Heroes and Echo the Dolphin were like the two games he had that I was kind of interested in. And we played it every once in a while, not as much as you would have thought, but I found it fun. Like, for the longest time I thought that the dice maze was representative of the whole game and all that, but that's just childhood memories. I eventually would pick it up myself, and I played it kind of sporadically since I've had it, mostly because I wanted to do it two-player, and unfortunately we did one-player for the podcast, but I played it very sporadically two-player after I got it. It's just that never really had the chance to put the time in to do the whole game that way, and that's kind of why I haven't beaten it until now. Semi-considered getting Gunstar Superheroes when it came out for the Game Boy Advance, but I never played that game.
My history is much less interesting, as I haven't played Gunstar Heroes before prior to this podcast, and I haven't played Gunstar Superheroes. As I said before, my only history with Treasure Games was Sin and Punishment on Ikaruga, predominantly, and then that Alien Soldier cast, and now we're finally getting on to Gunstar Heroes. So we're just going to get right into gameplay. Starting off with the basics, Matt, do you prefer the free shot and the fixed shot? And what was your, I guess they're called like sub-weapon or element?
I prefer the free shot because I like to be able to move. I know there's a lot of strategic moments where the fixed shot would be better. But I like the ability to move, so I went with the free shot. As for the element, I went with Force mainly because I thought that was sort of the baseline for the game, and that's how I wanted to get my first full playthrough of it, to be with the sort of the baseline weapon. So it wasn't even so much out of preference, it was more out of what I thought would represent sort of the average weapon for the game. As I played through, I mostly used Force plus Force or Force plus Fire. And if I used Force plus Fire, I would sometimes have to go back to just Force, because Force plus Fire is a little bit slow if you're not under certain circumstances. But for the most part, it was a bit of a beast weapon. You know, sort of a ranged explosive that does a lot of damage all at once, rather than a lot of damage in a sustained stream, which is what Force plus Force would do. I didn't really touch Force plus Chaser. My experience in running guns with homing weapons is that they're usually either very weak or they take the teeth out of the game altogether. So I didn't want to have any of that, so I didn't use the Chaser at all.
Being my first playthrough, I started on easy just to experiment, so I went through the Ancient Ruins a few times going through the sub-weapons. And also deciding if I liked Fixed Shot or Free Shot. In the end, I liked Fixed Shot more. I wasn't really wild with any of the Chaser combinations. And in the end, I really ended up liking Fire as the base. And then, mostly when I had the option, I would run Lightning plus Fire. Get a cool sword gun thing.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly popular and powerful combination.
Yeah, but in addition to just shooting and the combinations as a usual running gun, there is a grappling move you can use when you're up close to enemies, which I found pretty useful.
Well, you get iframes when you're grappling as well, so it's
very
useful.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I used it quite a bit. Now, I played through on hard, so I had to use this a lot. I find that if you don't keep moving and you don't clear out the enemies efficiently, they really flood the screen. And I don't know what it's like on the lowest difficulties, but at least where I was playing, they really flood the screen, so that becomes invaluable quickly.
I played on easy for a little bit, but then I went back to clear it on normal, and after watching an expert long play, yeah, when you're on normal, it does feel like the game is a little empty sometimes. I guess it's a good starting point, but you definitely feel like you're missing out on stuff, and I'll bring that up when we get to a later stage.
I'm wondering if this was sort of the inspiration for Mischief Makers, because that game's all about throwing. That would be interesting to look into.
Yeah, but there's not enough shake-shake in Gunstar Heroes.
Nope, that's true.
unlike our Alien Soldier podcast, where we went through each boss individually, I'll list them. We don't really need to go into discussion of them on detail, even though there are less of them. But just to streamline it a bit, we'll only talk about bosses that really stand out to us. So we begin the game with four stages. You can play any of these four stages in whatever order you want. We're just going to cover them from left to right. So the first one would be the Ancient Ruins. It's kind of like a grassy stage, I guess, and for your first foray into Gunstar Heroes, they just throw a lot of dudes at you, and really take it and run and gun, because I was really pulled in by that, even on easy mode.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward run and gun level.
There's a cool slide halfway through.
I don't know if it's necessarily the best one to start with all the time, depending on the difficulty, maybe, but it has a couple of easy encounters in it, so probably the best place to start. It does look good, though.
It's got also that cool music, too. Treasure's just really impressing me here. The first boss is Papaya Dance, which is just a plant that comes out of the ground and shoots energy at you.
Is it just a plant?
Is it just a plant? I'll let people play the game, and they can come up with their own thoughts about it, just like us, Matt. Moving on, there's Bravo Man, which is a pile of boxes together, and it says one of its attacks is Dragon Punch, which, I don't know, I don't think it's anything special. I think you just kill this thing in like 5 seconds, regardless of difficulty.
Yeah, I think this is more for the pseudo-3D than it is for the boss, this particular encounter. I wasn't too plussed about this, but it was an interesting encounter, I guess, visually. It's not that interesting of a boss.
The last boss of the stage is Pinky Rotor, which is some dude. I don't think any of the Empire people really have names, for the most part. At least the henchmen don't.
The woman is pink.
There's so much Gunstar Heroes lore that I wasn't paying full attention to because I was too busy going like, "Ah, oh, cool, look at my laser sword."
Potentially an ashamed thing to say, this is a boss I had a little bit of issue with. I think this is a boss that would benefit more from the fixed shot than it would from the free shot. Just because moving while trying to fire up at it, I got tagged quite a few times, especially when it starts shooting those rapid lasers.
Yeah, and laser sword can kind of just dispel those.
Yeah, no, I didn't have that benefit. So, for me, it was a little bit tricky, especially coming into this game on hard mode. You know, not expert, but hard. From not playing it in a long time, it did take me a couple tries to beat this boss, unfortunately. Admittedly, unfortunately, but it's not bad for an introductory boss because it teaches you how you have to move a little bit. Like, I found I had to bounce off the side of the screen to dodge the lasers sometime, depending on how high they were when they were coming at me.
Yeah, that's a useful skill to learn in this game.
Yeah. Well, even the whole tackle attack that you can do in the air is sometimes quite useful. There's a lot to the mechanics of this game that you may miss the first time you play it, or once you become aware of them, it definitely helps a lot. So that was useful, and then getting underneath it and not getting frigged up when you're underneath it. Yeah, there's a lot of aspects to this boss that was a little bit rough coming back to it, but fortunately, I guess, it was an early roadblock, and I didn't really see anything like that again, because a lot of the other bosses I adapted to a lot quicker, so props to you, Pinky Rotor, I guess.
I guess for me being on normal mode and having fixed shot, I didn't really have too much trouble with this boss. Of course, I got hit plenty of times because I'm still learning how to dodge in this game as my first stage, but for me, I think it was definitely a good introduction boss. So we'll get the blue gem after defeating Pinky Rotor, and we'll be moving on to second stage from the left, the underground mine. Cool, you're on a minecart now, one of my favorite things to see in video games.
Are you being facetious about this level, or did you like it? Because I actually quite like the change of pace.
Well, I'm not wild about it being a minecart, but I definitely do enjoy it for being a change of pace, and you can also kind of hop onto the ceiling and take out more enemies that way. It's definitely high energy, but I mean, all of Gunstar Heroes is pretty high energy.
I found the enemies quite a bit more difficult than usual, especially when they're on the trains. And being able to switch between the floor and the ceiling quickly, it's good practice for the boss segment.
Yeah.
Because you'll have to do that a lot during Seven Force. So, quite like the enemy segments in this level, because they kind of teach you what's coming. So, yeah, pretty cool with that.
I felt whenever the soldiers were on the trains, they had some weird iframes, but I think that's just because they haven't loaded as jumping out of the train. That gave me some issues because there's still enemies coming at you while that's happening, but overall it wasn't that bad.
Right.
However, when we get to the boss, then things got really bad for me because this boss is 7-Force. If you're playing on normal mode, it's probably 5-Force.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 7-Force always starts as Soldier Force, which... honestly, I found Soldier Force the most difficult phase, and I think that's on purpose because I think it has the most attacks and the most switch-ups. But I find as long as it doesn't come to the right side of the screen, you're okay. And I found being on the ceiling generally safer than being on the floor, like stay on the ceiling and then dodge the boomerangs, and it was pretty rote. But Soldier Force is probably the unit that gave me the most trouble, with Crab Force probably coming in second.
I would say pretty much every form that I had to fight on 7-Force was difficult for me. Yeah, Soldier Force is pretty tough. I'm trying to remember who else I fought. At some point in the battle, the view will kind of shift where you're on the left and right because it turns vertically.
Yeah.
And that was even worse for me after Soldier Force. Like, I think the first mode I fought was Urchin Force, and I'm not very good at dodging that as it bounces around.
Yeah, I found Urchin Force probably the easiest of them all, personally, but I probably fought it relatively slowly. I just stayed out of reach. But at least it's cool. it looks dangerous anyways.
I think I also fought Tails Force. I'm trying to remember as I'm looking at an expert long play because I didn't fight all of them, but I think I fought Tails Force as well in my normal playthrough, and that one's pretty easy to dodge. Crab Force is also in the horizontal side-scrolling section, but Crab Force, despite my rivalry with crustaceans, Crab Force actually isn't that bad.
Crab Force, you can see what's coming because I think it holds the next obstacle in its claw.
Yeah.
But sometimes those walls were really close together. And so I took a lot of damage during Crab Force just by virtue of just attrition, right? And I think if I had been... so at this time I had Fire and Force. And I think if I had Force and Force or whatever, it would have been a lot easier because I'd have a more sustained attack on this enemy. But anyhow, I think... Urchin Force... I'd say Blaster Force is actually easier for me because I do remember the sweet spot from it. It's one of the things I remember from playing this as a kid. And it's kind of cheesy to fight it from there. So maybe I deservedly so should go back and fight Blaster Force the right way. But I just went to the sweet spot at that point in the fight because I figured I needed some downtime between forces. Did you manage to fight Tiger Force?
I don't think I fought Tiger Force as I'm looking at this expert long play. Did I fight Eagle Force? I hope I did, because this form looks really cool. I'm trying to remember. Should have taken better notes.
Yeah, Eagle Force is okay. It's maybe the most predictable of all of these particular fights, but you got to be quick to get past the wings, right? So.
But overall, I'd say definitely say 7-Force. I guess I would have less vitality if I fought all 7 and do worse. But from what I experienced, 7-Force is pretty cool. I like the selection, even though I did get beat up a lot.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't mention the story that 7-Force is Gunstar Green, who lost his memory after he was reawoken, so he's working for the Empire right now.
Yeah. Now, there's actually one of the enemies in Alien Soldier, I think, was a take on 7-Force, right?
Yeah.
7-Force is definitely the most popular boss in this game, and I can see why, because it makes quite an impression. There's a lot of forms to it. Probably if you're playing on normal mode, you would have maybe played through it once before and then came back, played again, and all of a sudden there's new enemies in this rotation. It's a cool concept. It's why there's not many boss. Well, it's why there's only one boss in the underground mine. There's no mini bosses, right? Because most of the level is fighting Seven Force, and it's pretty cool conceptually because it's sort of an endurance run at that point. You have to get past them all.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you get any health back. I definitely get any health back on normal.
Not between them, no. Not between them. If each force was its own individual boss, they wouldn't be that impressive. Because, obviously, there's seven forms to this boss. They can be challenging, they can have different attacks, but they can't be over the top because, you know, there's seven of them in a row. I think Soldier Force could have been its own boss, and Tiger Force is maybe complicated enough to be its own boss. But, yeah, I think it works for the whole Seven Force thing, the whole endurance marathon boss. I think it's a great concept. I kind of wish there was more sort of taunting from Green, or maybe a bit more information about what the hell Green's all about. Because his story, I think, differs between Japan and the US releases and all that, so it's all confused, but it's still really cool.
I think the story is that he was brainwashed, or at least when he didn't have memories, he just got picked up by the Empire first or something. I don't know how it works out.
Yeah, in Japan, I think he's a traitor.
We're moving on to the third stage, which is the Flying Battleship. This one starts off as a vertical side-scroller where you need to catch up with this rocket and not get caught by the end of the screen. The vertical section's pretty easy. You're just trying to catch up to Orange, and then you get to the top, and it's kind of like a usual running gun, as just the gameplay is on top of the ship. The rocket?
It's interesting in terms of all the moving parts, but ultimately, it's not the most compelling level in the game, but it has a lot of interesting visuals.
The first boss you'll encounter is Red Vulcan, which is just three dudes on a tall robot. It's not special at all, so we're not going to talk about it.
Sure. Poor dudes.
Halfway through the stage, you fight Smash Daisaku for a little bit. It's kind of like a mid-boss. I don't think he has that whole preamble whenever you fight a boss.
No, he's just like doing the Psycho Crusher around, isn't he?
But for the last boss is Orange from the Empire. You also fight him on top of that plane. Strong man. Tried to throw him off a few times. Doesn't work so well. Died a couple of times to him, but I wouldn't say I died as much as a Seven Force.
I think particularly the most difficult part of this fight is the how the airplane or aircraft you're on moves, because when part of the wings go off the side of the screen, you can't go on them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it veers back towards the center, and now you're off the aircraft, right? But I thought this fight was a little bit tricky because I'm not super good at the throwing mechanic, but that's really what they want you to use on Orange, I find. Because he does a lot of rushing towards you. Like, he likes to close the distance. So throwing him off the aircraft seems to be the way to go. Throwing off the helicopter. I'm remembering it's a helicopter now because he's got the cool thing where he jumps on the helicopter blades and spins around really fast.
But, oh, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. And I think with more practice at the game, then I think it would be a lot more effective at him. As it was, I was sort of tricking his AI a little bit by going below the wings and coming back up on them. So I was doing a little bit of manipulation like that, or at least confirmation bias says so was. So I'd like to fight him more head-on and fairly, right?
I would say I was pretty good at throwing him off, but dodging him, especially when the plane goes a little bit off screen, that's when I had a lot more trouble. Still a pretty good boss fight, though.
Oh yeah, it's definitely good. And good character. Really buff. Pretty cool.
And then we go on to the fourth stage, the Strange Fortress. the first part of this stage, or at least the first minute of the stage, really, is similar to stage one, the ancient ruins, where just a bunch of dudes jumping at you, you can throw them and stuff. But the real main part of this is the Dice Palace. I know an expert. You just roll one and you go through this whole board of boss fights in a row. Normal, you get some pretty good rolls. You get, like, some threes. How many encounters do you have to go through in hard? Would you say it's also pretty forgiving?
Oh, you can roll between one and three on hard.
Okay. Actually, on normal, I don't know if I happen to even roll past three, but I was also just unlucky.
I'm looking at the bosses now, and I definitely didn't fight the first fight. I fought most of them, but this worm I didn't fight.
So the first one here is Valian, which I recall fighting. It's a snake boss kind of thing, or a worm, whatever it may be. It's pretty neat. I mean, it's not exactly a great design, but I like the fight. I fought Minion Soldier a couple of times, which is just a soldier, but small. Nothing really to say, especially you have lightning fire, because you just duck and shoot at it.
You can do a lot of damage, I'll tell you that.
A boss called Pit, which I guess is a bunch of bouncy balls. I don't think I fought this one. Or if I did, it wasn't really that memorable.
That's what you expect. It's sort of a cross between Ping and Arkanoid, and it's pretty easy. What about Melon Bread?
Melon Bread. That's a fun boss. I'm glad I ran into it.
Can it actually do anything to you? Because I killed it before it did.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's cute, though, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely cute. Now, that definitely shows up in... Definitely shows up in the Alien Soldier, yeah.
Despite the fact that I brought up curry and rice in the intro, I don't think I fought that one.
That's a sumo boss. You didn't fight that?
I don't think I did, looking at it now.
You're not allowed to use your gun during this fight. I definitely fought it, and I definitely didn't like it. Well, I guess I shouldn't say I didn't like it. It was an interesting thing, but it seemed like it had a supernatural ability to counter what I wanted to do if I was doing a body attack in the air or if I was trying to grab it. It seemed like it was able to counter it pretty easy.
Is Timeron really a boss here? I think so, right?
It is. Yeah, it's there. It's not the same as the one you fight later. It is the same, but it's bigger.
Well, it's different. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
There's Phantom, who I don't remember according to this boss list, and Vortex Base, who I also don't remember. There's Phantom, who according to this expert long play, is just a soldier with a orb circling around him, and he occasionally throws bombs at you.
Yeah, well, that particular class of soldier is actually one of the more aggravating enemies in the game because they run up to you, grab you, and then launch a grenade. So when they're in the mix with a bunch of other soldiers, they actually become a problem. As far as I remember from Phantom from the Dice Maze, it's sort of the same thing, except it has a lot more hits.
There's also Aberrenbo Gel, which is a slime thing that just bounces around. Again, if you have lightning and fire, I didn't really have much of an issue with it.
No, it's pretty easy.
As we're talking about this podcast, Dice Palace has a lot of bosses. Most of them are not very memorable.
No, but they're not meant to be, like, super powerful bosses. They're meant to be obstacles on your way to fight Black, and this whole concept was later reused in Cuphead, so it has some providence, it has some weird choices. It just lets them be a little bit weird and unorthodox with their bosses in a game where the bosses are already weird and unorthodox. So I like the concept of the Dice Maze. Obviously I liked it so much that I thought the whole game was like that when I was a kid, because that's what I remembered, but it's pretty fun, I think, and yeah, at least at the time, it was a fairly novel thing to do, so I like it.
Yeah, as weird as it is, I also appreciate Dice Palace just for being that one out there thing, especially because they have been switching it up each stage. Like, Ancient Ruins was a basic side-scrolling section, and then we had the mine section and Strange Fortress, which was vertical at first. And then we have Dice Palace, so that's pretty cool. As for the fight with Black, it's a big robot. It's pretty telegraphic, especially when the lasers come out of the wall.
Well, it's a pretty cool boss insofar as I believe it uses color-coded attacks based on where it lands or where it's pressing. So if you get to see like more of the boss, it's actually pretty cool. It's not difficult, but it's actually pretty cool.
So we've got the four gems back now, but what could possibly go wrong? At some point, Gunstar Yellow, who was hanging out at headquarters and was really not doing anything otherwise, gets kidnapped. So going on to the next stage, which is Empire Space Base, starts off as the run and gun as usual. You'll get a note saying your next boss is the final great soldier. Before that is actually a twist, and you finally fight Smash Daisaku again properly.
Now this level itself, it's kind of long. It's more of a metal sluggy, I guess, in a sense. You fight a lot of soldiers. You fight a lot of mechs at different speeds and heights. So it's actually a fairly taxing level. Again, it's quite basic, flat-out level, but the way that they present it is, again, different than the other levels because you come across these boxes that you have to get through that kind of block you in, allow enemies to start piling up again. And, like, the big mechs that you fight, they aren't difficult to fight, but they come on the screen really quickly. So it's just more of a traditional reflexive running gun at that point.
How do you feel about the fight against Smash Daisaku?
It's different. It's different. Does he start with the Psycho Crusher, or does he start with the Fireballs?
I think he starts with the Psycho Crusher.
Yeah, that part's not difficult at all, the Psycho Crusher. He's above you most of the time. You can get a lot of hits on him.
Yeah.
It's the fireballs that are a little bit of an issue because there are sweet spots for them, but if you don't have the sweet spots, they're quite difficult to avoid. Other than that, I think he tries to move forward and kick you in the arse, but that's not too bad. It's the fireballs and the timing on them that you gotta kind of worry about.
I guess I kind of got a break on that, because I don't recall it being too difficult, but definitely a decent challenge for being, I would say, halfway, three-fourths through the game by now.
So, at the end of this level, we end up giving up our gems, right? Well, they've got Yellow held at gunpoint, and you throw the gems at, I don't know what Shredder's name is, to be honest with you. It's like Gray or something, but yeah, we throw them at the evil guy.
As a running thing for this game, as all the stages have some kind of variety to them, we are suddenly at a shoot-em-up stage.
I'm not too fond of it, to be honest with you. It's
not that interesting now. This is Treasure's first game, but I'll say they've definitely done better shoot-em-ups later.
Yeah, and it's not that it's bad or unplayable or terrible or anything like that, or even necessarily poorly executed. It's just that on the SNES and the Genesis both had a lot of powerful shmups, and on those consoles to have this to do a shmup section, it doesn't really compare to them. It's fine, it's passable, but I would rather, like, I'd rather more vertical or maze, like a big labyrinth running on section or something as you're trying to get through the guts of a spaceship or something. But I understand what they're going for, and I understand why it's a spaceship, because we're chasing them to the moon that has gold and silver, as far as I remember. But as for the actual level, I wasn't super fond of it. It was alright, but yeah, it was what it was, I guess. It wasn't great.
At some point, we fight Timeron, which has a timer, believe it or not. What a surprise, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Just as you were saying how uninteresting the shoot-em-up section is, the shoot-em-up boss, Timeron, is also nothing really special to talk about.
Well, you get a developer message or something if you last an hour against it, or is it 90 minutes?
100 minutes, so yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's an interesting challenge, I guess, for people that have played the game a lot and want to see everything it has to offer in terms of secrets. It's cool that they did that.
It's a developer's Easter egg, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if it was 10 minutes, I would be interested, but 100 is a little too much. There is a turret that is a boss, the 1000 millimeter gun. I guess it's there. I don't remember it, so we're moving on.
I kind of forgot this was a boss as well, but sure, it's there. The actual boss for this level, though, is 7 Force again. And this time it can switch freely between its different forces.
It's pretty neat, and I think it's just because I'm not on a minecart anymore, I found this a bit easier. But those forms can come up pretty rapidly.
Yeah, I think in general it's easier because you have so much more freedom of movement in the starship. But yeah, it was nice to see it again. That was pretty cool.
I do appreciate seeing it in space, you're right.
No, I guess actually the real boss isn't 7 Force, because I kind of separate this in my mind because you have to land to take on the core and the defense force rather than take it on in the spaceship. But yeah, there's actually that core battle, right?
We just like 7 Force that much.
I guess so.
The real boss of this is the core system. And how many video game bosses are like this where you're on some kind of spaceship and there's a core and it shoots things at you occasionally? There's nothing really special about it, but I did like the fight, to be quite honest.
It was interesting. The first form, the hammer, was actually the hardest, but yeah, it's interesting.
Now, going on to the last stage, the Empire spacecraft. First, I want to start off with how cool it is that it's kind of the members of the Empire watching you from a screen, so it's a neat touch.
Yeah. And as you defeat them, they leave and come off the screen to fight you. It's pretty cool. This is also sort of a boss rush, right?
Yeah.
There's not much actual level in between the bosses.
The first boss is Duck Battalion. By the way, it looks nothing like a duck. I was really disappointed.
Yeah. I don't know why it's called Duck Battalion, but it's all right. It can mostly be defeated by crouching.
I guess that's why it's called Duck Battalion. You're right. Maybe I wasn't thinking this.
Maybe that's why it's called Duck Battalion. You get a duck under it.
I had some trouble with this because it kept going to the other side of the screen, and I'm not very good at jumping over it, so... Or sliding, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, I did get hit by some of those fire blasts in a small stage section, so maybe I'm not that great after all. And there's more stage to go.
Well, I mean, they're placed a little fuckerly at times.
Anyway, we're getting to my rival here, Pink Lobster.
Is this, this boss give you a good going over, or what?
Honestly, it wasn't as difficult as Duck Battalion, but when it's just those bubbles, I'm not very good at dodging those either.
Yeah, well, with the bubbles, I had the fire force at this time again, and I found I could just hold down the button and I'd break through them. So mostly that's how I did it. I just kind of brute forced my way through the bubbles.
I don't think laser went through the bubbles, so I had to dodge them.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of them.
My rivalry continues with crustaceans. It did have a pretty cool design, though.
It's a pretty cool design, too.
I have to admit that.
My main problem with Pink Lobster in terms of my ability was, if I had to slide under it, it would hold its arm aloft, and if I was underneath it, it's almost like it knew which way I was going to go. If I go through the front of it or go through the back of it, it would smash down just as I was leaving it from under it. So I had a little bit of trouble with that in terms of any time I had to pass under the damn thing.
I had to spend most of the battle like trying to jump over it because it tries to push up against the wall, which is a very smart tactic. But otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much how the battle went.
Yeah.
So we got a rematch with Orange. Oasis theme is your favorite here, Matt. Getting some thoughts here?
This is a tough fight for me, actually. I think Fixed Shot would probably be better here, honestly. And I kind of tried to do the same thing I did with Orange in the original fight, in terms of continually swapping levels. What I tried to do with this fight is make him swap a level, grab him and throw him, then get the hell out of dodge, because his tackles and some of his moves are really quick.
He's also very strong.
Yeah, and he's got a shit ton of health. So Orange was one of the fights I had a little bit of difficulty with because he's just so aggressive and powerful. It just took learning when to throw him, but sometimes I found my throws weren't connecting all the time, so there's still a lot I've got to learn about that. But yeah, Orange took me a couple of attempts for sure, because yeah, that was a bit rough. I did most damage to him with throws rather than shots, to be honest.
The opposite of me, unlike the helicopter fight where I did do a couple of throws, I didn't really find any good windows to do so for the rematch. I wouldn't say fixed shot gave me that much of an advantage, because I would still have to dodge him, and I was still not very good at that.
You know, honestly, this is the one fight I think I'd say take Chaser to, to stay away from him.
That'd probably be smart, yeah.
Sometimes you gotta get non-shook, right, so.
Definitely more area compared to the helicopter. There's like a second level, too, that you can jump on. It doesn't really matter, because it'll just jump there and then rush you. So it's really an issue of dodging for me, and not getting too pummeled. We'll have to use a few continues here.
Yeah. He can change levels pretty quickly, too, though, and he's got some attacks that can hit above and below him.
So we're moving on to Black Fly. So you're kind of on an ascending platform as Black Fly is on this hovering robotic aircraft.
Yeah, honestly, this fight's a little bit more difficult than the previous version of Black, mostly because when it goes off screen and then you have to dodge those like laser mines that come down, you either have to stay in between them or you have to anticipate which way they're going to spread out. That's actually prone to getting it to take a lot of damage. When it kind of flies down and has the rotating laser beam, that's a lot more manageable to get a lot of hits in on him. It's not necessarily a difficult fight, but it definitely has the opportunity, like plenty of opportunities to do damage to you, because you don't get to fight Black for half of it because he's off screen half the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's necessarily difficult, it's just lengthy.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And it's more of an attrition thing in terms of you're probably going to get hit the more time that... Like, the longer you spend on something, the more apt you are to get hit.
Moving on, we get to fight Green, who is not on 7 Force for once. Green, being a Gunstar, is essentially the same as you, and he's definitely a tough opponent.
Another fight I switch levels constantly during.
He just throws so many shurikens, and I don't know how to dodge anything still.
No, I just stay on a different level from him. And I find that if he's moving between levels, I think is when you can actually hit him. Because after a certain point, he starts blocking all of your attacks. So I think the way it went for me is I would just continually switch levels till he got close to me. Then I try to throw him. But he can do a close quarters attack to you as well. So yeah, it's definitely a tough fight. And one that maybe requires a little bit of patience, but I think it's a pretty good fight.
I didn't mention, like, a lot earlier that there are the levels thing in some of the stages, and it's not really a big deal, but because Green can jump around them, like, so often, definitely more comparison to Orange, it's much more difficult here.
Yeah, yeah. But it's cool that you get to fight them one-on-one. Then maybe they use Green a little more than necessary in the game, but given his status as one of the Gunstars, it's apt. He's like Tommy from Power Rangers, I guess. And you never get the Dragon Zord, though.
It seems there's a few windows where you can throw him, but this is another fight where I just never got the opportunity to. I think second half of the game is when all that throwing I was able to do in the first half just doesn't matter anymore. I lost that skill.
It would be interesting if this game had a mode where you played as Green.
Get to throw those ninja stars instead of using a gun.
Yeah, and just have a different way of moving and all that.
Actually, yeah, that would be pretty cool, now that you bring it up. It also would be cool if Yellow did something nice.
Or he did something at all. Apparently she has a support position, but I feel bad because she's really just a damsel as the game plays out, but maybe she has a lot more lore significance, I don't know.
Fun fact, did you know Gunstar Red is a woman? I think that's neat.
Gunstar Red is definitely a woman in Gunstar Superheroes. I'm not sure about Gunstar Heroes, but if that's the case, it's pretty cool.
So we eventually get to the end of the stage where we come face to face with General Gray, who was the boss of the Empire, as I just found out now. Thanks, Matt, for looking that up.
To be honest, you don't really see him a whole lot during the game, and you don't get to fight him, so...
He uses the 4 gems to activate gold and silver, and here we go, here's the final boss. It's a big robot-looking thing. Well, it's not a big robot-looking thing. I think it's, like, twice the size of your sprite.
Yeah. It's different-looking. It's a good fight, though.
No, it's a really good fight, but being the final boss, I got pummeled a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sort of.
That sort of, like, charging rush attack always catches me, even though it stands there charging for quite a number of frames.
Yeah, it has a lot of attacks that can come quickly or with a delay, as you're saying, but the 4 crystals also have their own attacks, so there's a lot of mix-up in this fight. I think it's pretty cool. It's well animated. It has a lot of attacks. But you have to fight the crystals rather than gold and silver, because gold and silver itself is indestructible.
Right, yeah. And there's like sort of a... I forgot the name of this power already. It's a fire that kind of homes in, and I found that pretty useful, but it's also a matter of learning how to jump in time and dodging it.
I think I used the... Yeah, I used Force Fire for this one as well, just because it was my main weapon through the game, and it took me a couple of attempts to beat gold and silver. There were some times where I'd be doing really good, and all of a sudden I'd be just rushed down. It was a good fight. It has a lot of health, several attacks, and it's quite aggressive, so definitely a great boss to end the game on. When you see it, you're like, it's just a human-sized guy again. This is not going to be much of anything, but it quickly proves that wrong, right?
It's the cool. Ultimate weapon, Matt. Did you really think it would just be some guy?
I mean, I thought it would, you know, get another form or something, but it's good as it is.
It is pretty cool that it is the only one boss fight, and it is a very intimidating boss fight. You know, the crystals are really obnoxious. As we are escaping the exploding space base, in an act of redemption, Green regained his memories and then stays back to make sure that you escape safely.
Green rams 7 Force into gold and silver, kind of sacrificing itself. So.
But that is the end of Gunstar Heroes. Our final thoughts for Gunstar Heroes. As Treasure's first release, how's the energy and over-the-top aspect of this game fare?
I think the energy is pretty good. There's, I mean, honestly, the levels sometimes could be a little more interesting. I think that in general, they're filled with a lot of things to do and a lot of enemies to come at you, so maybe how compact they are is a good thing, but for the most part, the energy's there, and the over-the-top aspect of the game definitely helps us stand apart, and I think that was necessary. Like, just putting out another Contra wouldn't do it. Well, it might, but you got games like Midnight Resistance that try to be like Contra, but the other thing about Midnight Resistance is that it's bad, and Gunstar Heroes is good, but in order to set itself apart and make an impact, it has to be interesting, and that style is even represented right on the game box, so I think to be over the top, and it is over the top, and it is, you know, zany and peculiar and eccentric, and I think that's all good, and I think it does it well.
Yeah, as someone who hasn't played a lot of running guns, probably a few Contras, for me, I was definitely really enjoying it from the first stage. That was the kind of energy I was looking for. Just the idea that there were so many guys launching at you from the ancient ruins, and you could just throw them, and then you get these ridiculous, over-the-top boss warnings that lay out their attacks, even though I don't really focus on those, I guess. I was just like, oh, cool, boss with Dragon Punch, and then just a pile of boxes.
It's a very Darius thing to do. I like that.
I guess I haven't played enough Darius, then. as the first treasure game, I think that really makes it set apart from thinking about what the other contemporaries are. I think after playing Alien Soldier, though, when we did that 2 years ago, I don't think it quite matches the energy. Treasure came back to it and said, we can do this, but weirder. Nevertheless, I still really enjoyed Gunstar Heroes. I think as it went along, I started getting a bit fatigued by it. I think it's just because I got slowly worse at it. But overall, it definitely kept that high energy and as you said, eccentric aspects to it. So yeah, it definitely keeps up, especially with the changing stages and everything. Was this game cool or what, Matt?
Yeah, it definitely is. There was a time I had mixed feelings about Gunstar Heroes. That's probably born out of the fact that I had a Super Nintendo and not a Genesis. So you kind of develop these sort of things as a kid where you got to support your platform, but I've long been beyond that, right? So when I picked it back up years ago, I definitely enjoyed it. And I think it's definitely a better game multiplayer. And generally, games like this are a better multiplayer, and I kind of wish I got to play it like that.
It'd been really cool if the two of us did this podcast with multiplayer.
That'd be interesting. Maybe there's a way. Maybe Steam can do it or something. I don't know. We should look into it. But as for being cool and good, yeah, I mean, it's definitely solid. There's segments of it I'm not fussy for, like the airship base. I'm not super fond of that, and I don't really like the shmup section that much, but for the most part, the game delivers, and it has enough unique aspects, enough really well-constructed aspects, that I have to like it. And Treasure are known for doing the boss thing, and they really do it well here. Like, spot on, for the most part. Even when the bosses are simple and easy to defeat and quite quick, like they are in the dice maze, they're all unique and weird, and they like just like to do different concepts of things. I think that's the biggest strength of games like this, is that they present themselves as, you know, sort of a quirky game, but that allows them to try what they want to do with level design and bosses. And I think Gunstar Heroes was a good example of that. So on those principles alone, I'm going to like it, and on a gameplay quality side, I'm going to like it. Yeah, I liked it.
So what really appealed to me was just how fluid it was, and we keep mentioning there are a lot of bosses in this game, and not all of them are winners, but they are unique for the most part. I mean, especially Dice Palace, even if they are supposed to be not exactly memorable, but that's Dice Palace is just a strange stage, and each of the stages are all different. So I think that just makes it a lot of flavor for this game. And I just think the fluid and energy of the game, it just makes it really fun. I think it would have been a lot more fun if we did play multiplayer. Anyway, as a whole, I think I still, despite having this really glowing opinion of Gunstar Heroes when I started off, even by the end game, it just settled down a bit. Overall, I still like Gunstar Heroes. Definitely not my favorite treasure game. But I can see why it has a really good reputation. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to reach me, I am twitter.com/Karasu, CAWRASU. Matt, where can we reach you?
You can reach me at twitter.com/Metazoic, MATTOZOIC. It's like the Mesozoic era, except the dinosaurs are better. And the website's the same, metazoic.com.
And where can you reach our dear horse Agro, who I hope is filling up a spaceship with some gas?
You can reach Arrow at twitter.com/Arrowcast, AGROCAST.
Okay, Matt, so what are we going to play for June?
Hopefully we're going to play Princess Tomato and Salad Kingdom, which I've never played before. I've always been interested in it because of the title and because of the box art. So hopefully it's Princess Tomato that we're playing for June.
Yeah, with a title like Princess Tomato and the Salad Kingdom, we're continuing our food trend.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to whatever weirdness this is. Hopefully. Till then, cheers.
Cheers.